Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Last week, we had some sort of a problem with the live stream, and the audio didn't work, so we decided to re-record it for those of you that would like to hear the message. So that would have been Wednesday the 24th is the message that we're talking about. The one before that was knowing God's will in your life. And today's message is the new life that Christ has for us, and how we can get that new life and how to walk in it. I guess I'll go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we'll just head right into the message. Father, thank you for the ability to be able to re-record this for those that do want to watch it. I just thank you for the opportunity to do that, Lord, and we just give you control of this message, Father. I pray that you'd move me out of the way, and I just pray that you'd let your Holy Spirit say what you want said, and I pray, Lord, that you'll not let me say anything that you don't want said. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we give control of this message to you. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Like I said, the message before this was, how do we know God's will for our life? And this message is about our new life in Christ. You know, everybody talks about, or I've heard it all my life, you know, get saved and your life will be good from then on, and all your problems will go away, and, you know, there'll be no stress, and everything will be just happy, and everything will be great from then on. You know, I've heard that all my life. People have told me that, and I'm sure, you know, that many of you have heard that too. And I found that the only problem with that was that it wasn't true, and it's not true. You know, there's millions of people that get told that all over the world, and you know, when they do come to church or come forward and accept Christ and they get baptized, you know, and emotions are high and all that, they get all excited, and then a few days later when they get home and you know, the emotions settle back down, you know, they start getting discouraged in a few days because their life didn't magically change instantly. You know, their problems didn't disappear. The same struggles they had are still there, and now they feel even more helpless than they did before, because now they feel like they can't even count on God. And I'm here to tell you, though, that you can count on God, and every promise of God is true. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. But when we come to God, we have to do it God's way. So today I'm going to explain to you how we come to God and actually get the new life that God promises us in Christ. Pete Higgs, the director of Renovatus, when I was going through their recovery program, he used to tell me all the time, and he still says this, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. And I remember when I was going through the program, I had no idea what he was talking about. And I was like, that don't even make sense, Pete. So I didn't understand what he was trying to tell me. But now I know exactly what he was talking about. So I want to go over with you some of the things that the Bible says that we have to change in order to get our new life and actually walk in it. I want to start with a verse in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 4. And a lot of you are probably familiar with this verse if you've ever been to a baptism, or probably heard it when you got baptized yourself if you've been baptized. Romans 6 and verse 4, it says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. But I've been to very few baptisms that explain to us that we have to die to ourselves and commit ourselves wholly to God. And you know, the verses coming right after that explain those things. So I want to share the rest of those verses with you. And I believe that's where the newness of life comes from, is if we're, you know, obedient to these verses. So in Romans 6, verses 5 through 13, it says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Do not let sin control the way you live, and do not give in to simple desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So we have to consider ourselves and our old ways and our old lifestyles, our old habits, dead. That's what he's talking about when he says a new life, which it's not our old life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So our old life has to be gone. The problem is, and the problem was with me, over and over, we try to hold on to our old life and just add the new life to it. And that just does not work. I tried every way imaginable, every way I could think of to be godly at church and to be, you know, involved in church activities and, you know, try to serve God and still live my personal life when I got home any way I wanted to. You know, I didn't want to change anything. I wanted to serve God, but I still wanted to do all the other things I was doing too. And I can tell you from experience that all that will do is frustrate you. It'll make you angry, and eventually it'll cause you to give up on God because you don't see any change in your life. And it'll cause you to give up on yourself too. It'll make you wind up feeling like a failure because the things that you're trying to do don't work out. You know, nothing ever works out for you. And things won't work out trying to mix our old life with a new life. Until we completely surrender to Jesus and make the changes the Bible says to, we won't get the changes we're looking for. Back to the book of Romans again, in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I'm sure you've heard these verses too. They're the famous verses about getting saved. It says in verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So it says, we have to confess that Jesus is Lord. But the only way he's Lord is if we are obedient to him. You can't call somebody Lord and not be obedient to them. I remember one time at one of the Johnny Hunt men's conferences that we went to, he said, if he is Lord, then the answer is yes. You can't say no, Lord. So we have to not only confess that he is Lord, we have to be obedient and make him Lord. And that's where I think a lot of people fall short. That's where I fell short. I confessed him with my mouth as Lord, but I didn't obey him as Lord. I didn't follow his instructions as Lord. I didn't do the things that he was telling me I needed to do. Paul gives us a lot of good instructions on that in Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 20, all the way through chapter 5 and verse 9. That's a lot of scripture, but it's good instructions for us as new believers. So in Ephesians 4, I'll start in verse 20. It says, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corroded by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." You know, there was a verse back there that said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give a foothold to the devil. You know, a lot of times we'll be angry about something, and if we don't deal with it before we go to bed, if we go to sleep angry at somebody or with resentment in our heart towards somebody, that does give the devil a foothold. You know, your brain never shuts completely off, and while you're asleep, that anger and the bitterness you have towards that person, it's just going to compound while you're sleeping. Your brain is still going to be processing those things. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be even more bitter towards that person, even more angry towards them, and have even more resentment towards them. So it's a very good practice to confess that anger and that bitterness, you know, before you go to sleep. Tell God how you feel and get it confessed up. And it says in 1 John 1:9, he will cleanse you of that, so you won't go to bed with that stuff in your heart. You'll go to bed clean. You'll go to sleep clean. And most of the times you'll wake up not quite as angry at that person. You might not even be angry with them at all anymore. So that is a very good verse to remember. Don't go to sleep on your anger. It does give a foothold to the devil. There at the end of those scriptures in chapter 5 and verse 9, that light that Paul is talking about is the Holy Spirit in us. And once we surrender to Jesus, it's impossible to live a godly life and to be obedient to God without the help of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, the only thing we have leading us is our souls. We're either under the control of our soul or we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. And our souls are selfish. They're very selfish. And most of the time, they're mean. You know, that's why we wind up resenting people. And that's how we grow bitter towards people and angry at people. Without the Holy Spirit, we just don't have the compassion and the love that we need to have towards other people and to do the things that God has called us to do. You know, He's called us to love each other and to witness for Him. And we just can't do those things without the help of the Holy Spirit, because our soul don't want to do those things. Just like it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, you know, we have to be kind to each other. We have to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just like God through Christ has forgiven you. And that's what Jesus meant over in the book of Matthew in chapter 22. Verses 37 through 40, Jesus is talking to His disciples and He says, you must love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So Jesus knows that without the Holy Spirit, we just can't love the way that we should, and we can't live the life He's called us to. So we have to be willing to let go of those things that God tells us to let go. And we have to pick up the things that God tells us to pick up. One of the things we have to do is give up our right to get even with other people, to judge people. I heard one preacher say on a message I listened to here a while back, he said, you never went to a funeral and heard the corpse in the coffin complaining. You know, dead people don't get offended. They don't get their feelings hurt. You know, they don't carry around bitterness and resentment because they're dead. You know, they're not unreasonable. They're not hard to get along with. That's why it says we have to die to ourselves. Back to 2 Corinthians again in chapter 5 in verses 14 and 15, it says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that if he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So just like it says in verse 15 there, we have to quit living for ourselves and our own desires. And we have to start doing what God desires and what God wants us to do. I know this was true in my life, but I think many of us aren't willing to change and surrender to God, because if we changed and we surrendered to God, that would mean that we have to forgive everybody. We'd have to let go of the resentment that we carry around. You know, the resentment that we have towards some people. And I believe everybody has that one person or people or a group of people that we do carry around bitterness and resentment for, that we feel justified in. And it's our own pride that says that we're justified in those things. And that's why we feel that way about those people. You know, they may have done us wrong, but we don't have the right as Christians to judge anyone. We have to give up that right when we surrender to Christ. Jesus said, if we don't forgive others, then we won't be forgiven either. It says in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verses 14 and 15, He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But in verse 15, He says, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I don't think He put the word refuse in there by mistake. I don't think Jesus did anything by mistake. He could have said, if you don't forgive others. That's not what he said. He said, if you refuse to give others. And that's the case in most times. That's what I did. It wasn't that I didn't forgive them. I refused to forgive them. I refused to surrender my control of that part of my life to Jesus Christ and trust him to make things right. I refused to forgive other people. But when you do surrender to the Holy Spirit, he gives you the power to do that. That's what I was saying. Our souls are selfish. We don't want to give up that right. But when we do surrender and receive the Holy Spirit, he gives you the power to surrender those things. And it's the Holy Spirit through you that you're able to forgive those people and move on and quit dealing with all that bitterness inside you. He really does wash you clean of those things. Paul had those feelings too. He wanted to do what was right, and he struggled with it. He describes that really well in Romans chapter 7. I'll read that to you in verses 14 through 25. It says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So Paul was very much like us, very much like me. I mean, I could say that like I'm quoting it about myself. So the only way we can die to ourselves and live the new life that God has for us is through the Holy Spirit. We can't overcome our own souls by ourselves. We have to surrender our will to God's Spirit and let it overpower our souls. If I could have overcame it by myself, you know, I tried time and time again, hundreds of times, to overcome the things in my life by myself. I went through all kinds of worldly programs. None of them worked. The only thing that works, the only thing that can overpower our souls is the Spirit of God. And the only way to get that is to truly surrender to Jesus Christ. Paul explains it very well in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. They're constantly fighting each other. I went through that for years before I figured out I do need to surrender because I can't overcome this by myself. So we have to truly surrender to Jesus and be willing to give up our rights to judge and to anger and to resentment and bitterness and all of those things. But we also have to be willing to give up our worldly desires too, not just our inward feelings, but the way that we live. You know, up till now we've been talking about the way we feel and the way we think and the attitudes that we have. But we have to change things that we do too, and where we go, and who we're around. You know, we have to watch what we watch on TV, what we listen to on the radio, because what we let inside ourselves, that's what fills up our heart. That's what comes out of us. So we have to be careful what we're taking in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, Paul says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? And how can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So Paul says a whole lot of the reason new believers don't stick with it is they aren't willing to stop hanging around their old friends and give up their old habits. And, you know, that was a lot of my problem. The church that he's talking to there in Corinth, you know, it was a new church. And the town of Corinth was a very, you know, it was a pretty evil place. They had all these different kinds of gods that they worshiped and stuff. And so those people weren't used to a godly lifestyle. They didn't even know who God was. All they knew about was false gods and idols. And, you know, they even had temple prostitutes and stuff. So all their life, they would have been taught that these things are okay. These things are acceptable in public, in our society, and they were. And Paul's trying to tell them that you've got to give up all that old stuff. You know, this is how God says to live. If you're going to come to Christ, you have to choose to do things His way. That's why all of Paul's letters are such good examples for us. You know, they're instructions to new believers that are used to an ungodly society. And, you know, if you're a new believer coming to Jesus today, we live in an ungodly society. Everything around us wants to pull us away from God. You know, we have to be willing to be set apart and to be different if we're going to live for God. You know, like I told you a second ago, that was my downfall more than once. It was, you know, my old habits, my old friends, that drug me down more than once. I had to learn my lesson. And that's what Paul is warning the church in Corinth about. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, that's what he's telling them. He's warning them. He says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. And I know I use this verse in Matthew a lot, but I think it's important, and I want you to remember it. This is the main reason most people do drift away from God. And this is Jesus talking in the parable of the farmer sowing seed. In Matthew 13, verse 22, he says that the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. So we do have to be careful what we allow in our lives. For me, those thorns that Jesus is talking about was a lot of my family members, you know. My brother and the others in my family, all we had ever done together was drink together and do all kinds of ungodly things that I know I shouldn't be doing. And when I was a new believer in Christ, I just kept trying to go around them and hang out with them and do the things. I tried to do the things with them that were good, without the drinking, without all the other things. But it was just a matter of time before I turned right back to my old ways. So we have to be careful about who we hang out with and the things that we allow in our lives. And we have to choose to do the things that pull us away from God. You know, we have to choose to do positive things, to get around people that don't do the things we used to do. We have to take the advice from godly people. We have to choose to do what they're telling us to do. And we have to be careful to make time for God. You know, this world, Jesus said, God's word is, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. You know, we get so busy, we say, we don't have time for God. We don't have time for this, you know. Maybe we're working 80 hours a week or whatever. We have to carve out a few minutes a day for God every day. And I believe the best time to do that is before we even start our day, before we get busy. You know, we may have to get up like 30 minutes earlier or something and get in God's word before the day gets out of hand. If you've got God's word in you before the day starts, then you've got something to fight the day with. But if you just jump out of bed and go straight into the world, then, you know, you don't have any ammunition to fight back with it. And I know I quote this verse or these verses all the time too, but I believe these two verses right here are absolutely necessary to live in a godly life. I know they have been for me. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." You know, when I first became a new Christian, I didn't know which way was the right way to go. I didn't know what was the right thing to do. And, you know, I didn't have a trust in God at that time. My faith was new. Everything about it was new. But, you know, in verse 5, he says, trust God with all your heart. And the more you trust God, the more He will come through for you. And your faith will grow when you see that God keeps His word when you're being obedient to Him. God will never let you down, like we said at the beginning. And He'll never fail you, and He'll never forsake you. He's proven that to me over and over and over. So if you just do those two verses right there, God will lead you in the direction you need to go. So we have to make choices all day, every day. And we need to take them to God and let Him help you make the right ones. We need to stay in prayer and talk to God. Talk to God throughout the day. I talk to Him all day, every day. You know, I live by myself, and a lot of times at work I'm by myself, so I just talk to God all day. You know, that's prayer. There's nothing hard about prayer. All prayer is a conversation with God, and, you know, we shouldn't take that lightly. Jesus died so that veil would be rent in the temple so we would have access to God. So if Jesus died for it, He thought it was pretty important. So we should take advantage of the ability we have to talk to God and talk to Him all day. If you're having a hard time, say, God, I'm having a hard time. I don't know what to do. Please help me and show me what to do here. And He will help you. And it's very important to stay confessed up in your thought life. You know, like I said a minute ago, before you go to bed, think about the day. You know, if you lost your cool somewhere, tell God, I lost my cool here. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Or if you're feeling angry at somebody, tell God, I'm angry at this person. They did this, it made me mad. And God don't judge you for confessing things to Him. He wants you to confess them so He can forgive you, so He can cleanse you, so you're not carrying that stuff around and letting it eat you up on the inside. God loves you. He don't condemn anybody. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So take those things to God and get them off your chest so you're not walking around feeling guilty or shameful about them, and He will forgive you. And like I said, get in God's word every day. And if you are a new believer and you're like, well, I just don't know where to go. I don't know how to start reading the Bible. There are all kinds of devotions out there. I mean, there are millions of them. Everybody's got a smartphone nowadays. All you got to do is Google the word devotions, and I'm sure you'll get tons of them. If you don't want to do it on Google, go on YouTube and just type in Bible devotions, and there'll be more on there than you can read. And all a devotional is, they'll give you a little short story and some Bible verses to go along with it. And that'll teach you how to start reading your Bible. That's a good place to start learning how to read your Bible. So once we get to reading our Bibles, it's also important to get around other believers and get involved in church somehow. You know, maybe in doing some church service or something. But I tried doing it on my own for a long time and isolating and not hanging out with anybody. And I just kept failing. You know, by yourself, you're weak and you're easy prey for the devil. But if you hang out with other believers, people that love Jesus and love God, and you know, they'll give you good advice, and you'll learn good godly things to do. My problem was, I'd never done any good godly things, so I didn't know what to do. So hanging around with other believers will teach you how to do godly things and develop new habits. So if we will obey God and be willing to allow Him to change us and choose to do the right thing, even when we still desire to do the wrong thing, choose to do what is right, and God will bless you for that. And I've learned that the more that we do what is right, because doing what is wrong comes natural to us. Doing what is right, does not come natural to us. We have to choose to do what is right. But the more the Holy Spirit takes over your soul, God will change your desires. He's changed mine, and He'll change your wants. I'm sure many of you have heard me before say that, you know, a lot of the reason I didn't fully surrender is I thought I would be sitting around my house, sitting on my couch, just miserable because I still wanted to do those old things, but I just wasn't allowed to do those anymore. But if that's where you're at, and if that's why you are not surrendering to Christ, I want to tell you that is a lie straight from hell, because I don't sit around wanting to do any of those things anymore. I thank God every day that I'm sober, that I don't have all the evil thoughts that I used to have. God changed my desires when I surrendered to Him. I don't crave any of those things. I don't even think about those things. God truly does renew your mind. And you won't be sitting around missing that stuff if that's what's keeping you from Christ. Because that's exactly what I thought for years, but I don't miss a bit of it. It don't even come into my mind. So living a godly life is a choice. We can know all the right things to do, but we have to choose to do them. You know, God doesn't force anybody to follow Him. He's not going to make you come to Him, but God wants everybody to come to Him. And if you have some of the same fears that I had, I'm here to tell you those fears are a lie from Satan. That's not the truth. God loves you. He won't let you sit there and be miserable. He does change your desires, and He gives you new ones, and He fulfills those desires. He don't give you desires and you're sitting around wanting something. God, when He gives you a desire, He gives you something to fulfill it. I want to close with a quote that I read in one of my devotionals. This is a little preview if you don't know what devotions are. But this is out of Oswald Chambers' Utmost for His Highest devotional. And it was actually the day before last Wednesday. This is March 23rd's devotional. I read it the day before this message. It says, "You will never cease to be the most amazed person on earth at what God has done for you on the inside." And that is true. I'll read it again. He said, "You will never cease to be the most amazed person on earth at what God has done for you on the inside." And that is true. I wake up every day just amazed at how different I am and what I used to be. I think sometimes, you know, when we're doing counseling or in one of our classes or something, I'll think about the things that I used to do and the person I used to be, and it amazes me what God has done, because I wouldn't do any of those things now. It blows my mind that I used to do those things. It just seems so foreign to me anymore. But I hope this message has helped somebody, And if you're dealing with those fears, take them to God, and He will conquer those fears for you. But I urge you, if those are the reasons you're not surrendering to Christ, don't let the devil fool you. Those are lies. He does come through for you. He changed my life, and He wants you to have that new life. And Father, we just thank You for this message. And Lord, I just pray that this helps somebody out there, Lord, that wants to come to You but is fearful of it, has been trying to come to You and not seeing any change, Lord. I just pray that this will help them to be able to see the change in their lives that they need. And not just for them, Lord, for their family, for their children, for their husband, their wife, just everybody in their lives, Lord. Because when I know when I came to You, Lord, You didn't just change me. You changed everybody that I come into contact with, and I praise You for that. Father, I just thank You for giving me this message, and I thank You, Lord, for helping me to get up here and preach it. And I just give You all the praise and the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I do pray. Amen.